Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to Barbecue Nation. I'm here with JT. I am JT. What in the hell am I talking about? But anyway, I am here and my second in command, Dr. Dave, is just shaking off his suntan. And what I mean by that is that little bugger went down to Daytona for the 500. I wasn't sure we were ever going to get him back. But he's out washing his car now, dreaming of driving in circles to the left. Regardless of that, today on The Nation, we welcome back a very good friend of the show and a good personal friend, Carolyn Wells, who's the executive director of the Kansas City Barbecue Society. And as we like to say, she's the godmother of barbecue. Carolyn,
the grandmother.
Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you. So let's give a little weather forecast as we do this show. You're having an ice storm there in Kansas City.
It has ended and it's going to start raining. So we're now above freezing. So we're doing good.
Well, good. I know that. I'll tell you a quick story before we get into the interview. Years ago, my mother-in-law lived in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Never and a very astute driver, even in the best of conditions. And like I said, one morning we woke up, this was quite a few years ago, and I saw a snow and ice storm there in Dallas.
And it's a scary thing, isn't it?
It's a scary thing. And then to think of her out on I-95 or whatever it is there, doing donuts in the ice, man. It was funny. Anyway, I guess you had to be there to really appreciate it. But if you knew my mother-in-law and you knew how she drove, you'd have been sitting on the edge of your chair. So, what's new at KCBS?
Well, we have. Let's see. I just got back from two contests and leaving for one next week. So that was fun. The season's already started. We had our annual meeting, and we have a repeat team of the year, Travis Clark from Yukon, Oklahoma. And so we're very proud of Travis, and he's going to open a barbecue restaurant. It seems like that happens a lot with our with our teams of the year. We're expanding our cooking stable, and please don't yell at me for this, but We're going to have grilling contests.
Well, I won't yell at you for that. I think that's actually a great idea.
We all know that the general public uses barbecuing and grilling synonymously.
Mm-hmm.
We all know they're different, but you know what? They're both honorable cooking methods.
Oh, absolutely.
They're just not the same thing.
No. They're not the same thing, and as we've discussed many times on the show, you and I have, and then with my other guests, when people get home from work at night, a lot of times, even with the advent of technologies that we can make things burn faster, if you will, but they don't have the time to heat up a bunch of lump charcoal in whatever kind of cooker they're using. And it takes time, and they don't have it. So I've always been an advocate for, grilling on gas grills for those folks.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're in the live fire business, I guess. and, we all know that you can't get home from work and cook a brisket and eat by 7:30. So it seemed to be a fun thing that people have more chance to have fun with food, playing with food, turning out some really imaginative and great presentations, and the food tastes great. And there's certainly room for both.
Yeah. How hard was it to get it by your membership and your board?
It's been surprisingly easy.
Really?
We're not combining the two. We are
right.
We're still doing barbecue events, but just like we added backyard events, and we're doing over 100 kids Q a year now. Children contests.
Maybe I'd qualify for that, Carolyn, because I'm just a big kid.
And the kids are really good.
Yeah, I might. So, that might be my competitive level right there. I don't know. You know.
Well, we have a little problem keeping the adults from being over-involved sometimes, but we have monitors to beat them up if they get rowdy.
Just like a kid's soccer game or football game, you know, the dad's standing on the sideline screaming.
Absolutely.
Oh, gosh. Well, that's good, though. I think that's really great. I think it's great that you've got that much activity at the kids' level, and I think that adding the gas grilling, I don't know the stats. You may know the stats, but like as we said, there's more people that actually gas grill than barbecue as you and I know it,
right.
You know, in the burbs.
Right. And as I said before, they're both honorable cooking methods. They're just not the same thing.
Right. No, absolutely. So what else have we got at KCBS that's coming up this year?
Well, we got, I think we're going to have about 50 international events this year.
Oh, good.
We've already had two in Australia and got another one coming up in April in Europe and Slovenia, Italy. We had one in Italy in January in the Italian Alps.
Oh, my God.
39 below zero. But each team had their own hut, if you will, with a heater in it. So
kind of
no frostbite.
Kind of like a barbecue yurt or something?
Yep. They had to ski down the hill to turn their food in.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. Did anybody crash when they were skiing down the hill and drop their entries?
No. They weren't racing.
Okay. Well, you know, I gave up skiing many moons ago, but I made a lot of big snow angels and left imprints of red hair, you know, type thing.
You sure? it seems that everything is, you know, people are coming along with the, they continue to improve their skills, whether they're barbecuing and or grilling, and they tend to want to experiment and try new things, and I think it's just great. We haven't quite glommed on to manufactured or cultured meat yet, but
right,
you know, it's that's a I don't know that that'll happen in our lifetime.
Well, whatever you're doing, the results of that have been tremendous, so I wouldn't worry about that too much.
Well, we've been very blessed, very blessed. Yeah.
So the growth, like in Europe, in Australia, I know I've been to Australia three times, and those crazy folks down there, I love them, and just had a ball with them every time I was there. But
they are a fun-loving bunch.
Well, you know, when you're standing upside down on the bottom of the earth, there's not much else to do but have a good time, you know.
You're here.
Wait for the oceans to rise, I guess, or something. But they had a huge interest, and this was years ago when I was there, in outdoor cooking and grilling and barbecuing, the whole lot. And they were very curious about things to do.
And it's way more than shrimp on the barbie.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
They love their sausages, and they're really pretty open to things. But we're, you know, a lot of things there are not available. A lot of things we cook are not available there. So we actually have a teacher that goes over there, and he doesn't certify, but he shows butchers how to get meat cuts like regular, like the ribs, like we cook them.
Right.
And the brisket, things like that. So, I don't know. This thing's just gotten way beyond whatever I envisioned at whatever point in the past. It's but they're so enthusiastic and they're so fun and they're it's truly all about the food.
Yes, it is, and they have a hell of a good time doing it. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Carolyn Wells, the executive director of KCBS, and that's not a radio station. That's right. The Kansas City Barbecue Society. Right after this on Barbecue Nation, don't go away.
It's full-flavored radio. Barbecue Nation with JT.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Dr. Dave, and we've got Carolyn Wells, a good friend of ours from the Kansas City Barbecue Society, KCBS, as if you want to use the acronym there. And before we get back to talking to Carolyn, I want to say that if you'd like to email us, as we tell you every week about this time, the email is Barbecue Nation, that's BBQNation, at KXL.com. You can also do Facebook with us, which is Facebook with JT, or Barbecue Nation with JT, not Facebook with JT. Jeez. And Twitter is CowCook57. How's that? A couple of our affiliates, KWRO in Coos Bay and KBKR over in Baker City. So, Carolyn, with the expansion of going international now, how do you sit at the helm of one of those organizations that's doing that and kind of keep a rein on everything?
Oh, it rains me more than me raining it.
Okay.
I have a wonderful IO team, the International Outreach Team. It's made of six people who travel as a group, basically, because they divide up duties and they... two couples are reps, and one other couple are the contest reps, and the one couple is they teach basic techniques. So luckily they're all good friends. So there's no murders on the way. So they're killing each other, squabbling. So.
Yeah.
They, when the demand arises, they get the cooks and the judges together. These are non-certified judges at this point, and they actually everybody takes all the classes. So the cooks take the class, so they know what obviously that they're going to be looking at.
Sure,
or expected to do. The judges also take it to see what the cooks go through, whether they're ever going to cook or not. They're, you know,
right.
The time and effort and the attention to detail. Then those groups, and then the cook teams also take the judging class, as well as the judges, and then they have a mock contest, and or a real contest if you want to, and so. The beautiful thing is by that time they've all bonded together, so it's fun to see cooks and judges who consider each other's friends or that reach out to each other and get together when they don't have to.
Right.
So it's these people like each other so much they get together even when it's not at the contest and that which is truly the spirit under which we started. And here domestically, it's so...
competitive.
It's so contentious, the cooks know they never deserve anything below a 9.
Right.
The judges, because you can't get in somebody's taste buds and the judge never deserved anything that was below a 7, you know, that they get... They take, and plus they can fraternize during a contest. So there's sort of a divide, and so it's really cool to see a group that the foreigners that are, they're so enthusiastic and they're so happy, and there's actually money hasn't really crept into the equation over there nearly as much as it is here.
Sure.
And that's when things would get really serious. So it's all about bragging rights and fun. So it's great to see those things. And now we're going down into South America, Central America. It's the Caribbean, Canada.
Well, I know some of those people because I've been down there, and I know some of those people in Brazil and Argentina. They can cook their ass off.
Oh my, yes.
And they are great. So I would forewarn your advance team that be prepared, because especially in Brazil, like I said, in Argentina, well, they all, you know, Uruguay and Paraguay and all those, but my word, they can cook.
And it's huge cattle country.
Boy, howdy. I went down to one of those chariscas that they had, and I was eating that thing, and they bring me out the skewer, and they're slicing meat off.
Right.
And I'm like, this is great. And they said, that's Brahma hump. And I went, really? And because when I think of stuff like Brahma bulls, old rodeo guy, all that, I'm thinking, those have got to be some tough suckers. And these weren't, man. This was like eating candy. And I thought that whoever cooked this knew what they were doing. That's the only thing I can say.
So it wasn't braised. It was smoked.
It was smoked and kind of long. These ovens they have there, which are kind of open, kind of look like a, and there's a name for it, and forgive me because I've forgotten, excuse me, but it's kind of like a pizza oven, but it's got grates in it and stuff, and it's the way they cook it, and like I said, this stuff was, that's where I discovered tri-tip, and this has been 30 years ago that I was there, but that's when I first had tri-tip in Brazil. And dang, it was good.
Can't beat a good tri-tip.
No, you can't. But back to your comments about, you know, the money and that. I think that happens with every sport, though. Whether it's a cooking thing or whenever there's a big cash prize besides bragging rights, I think sometimes, you know, that perpetuates a little conflict once in a while.
Right.
Yeah.
And, right. And you know, this is a very testosterone-laden group, so there's lots of pretty strong opinions running around.
You guys got to get an estrogen balance in there. You know what I mean?
We're working on it.
Yeah. You got to get
actually,
that.
Yeah, we had a, there is a series that Cowboy Charcoal is doing that is for women and women only. And it, the prize is diamonds.
There you go. That works. Hey, let's talk about that when we come back. We're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation, and we're going to be back with Carolyn Wells, the executive director of the Kansas City Barbecue Society, right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. We're talking with Carolyn Wells today from the Kansas City Barbecue Society, the godmother of barbecue. Not the grandmother, the godmother. How's that?
Thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You know, we were talking a little earlier. You're talking about, you know, your advanced team going out and doing, teaching them some judging basics and this type of thing. You know, and you've been very kind to supply me with names of your winners and all. That's how I get a hold of most of them, you know, Travis Clark and Tuffy Stone and different people like that. But do those guys, and believe me, they would say the same thing if they were here in person, but do those guys ever grouse about the judging? And if they do, what can, are you, let's put it this way, are you constantly working on the parameters and how to do things as a judge?
Well, we tweak it, and we tweak it all the time.
Uh-huh.
But it's, our judging system was actually put together by people who cook, and the standards are established by people who cook. But the fact remains, you'll never get in somebody else's taste buds.
That's true.
And so there's, I understand that GE made some sort of computer that could discern perfect barbecue and launched it at South by Southwest 2 or 3 years ago. But I hadn't heard anything about the apparatus lately. But, I mean, you know, you can train a monkey to fill a card with straight nines. What we want people to do is really think about it. And, of course, they have descriptors to go by. So
sure.
Our whole purpose is to level the playing field. That's why we do blind judging. That's why we do judge training. And it's to level the playing field and make it as smooth as possible. But, you know, probably the perfect system hasn't been admitted yet.
Don't think it ever will be.
Because you're always going to be at the mercy of somebody's taste buds.
Yeah. Whenever you enter the human factor as a parameter in whatever you're doing, then you've got a situation where you can have little wild cards, you might say. And that's okay. I mean, I came out of the horse show judging industry and did it for a long, long time. And our rule books were huge. And one of them that we worked with from USCF used to be called American Horse Show, about 1,000 pages. And that covered,
wow,
covered various breeds. But even your own breed would be maybe 100 pages, at least the ones I worked with were. Point being is, you know, you basically, after a while, had all that stuff memorized. But even as it was memorized, you still had to be able to discern it as a professional horseman to judge what was in front of you. And as a barbecue judge, and I haven't done tons of it. I've done some, but not very much. It's your taste buds that are leading the way. So,
right. And you hit the nail on the head, though. If you can't judge what's not in front of you.
Right.
Like a judge might say, oh, I will always mark down if there aren't burn-ins in the brisket box. Well, why? The team didn't present you burn-ins. They did present you with brisket.
Yep.
You're judging brisket.
Yep.
Judge it, man. Get over it.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. I don't know why this just flashed in my head, but we're going to jump back for a second. We were talking off the air. Have you ever eaten kangaroo?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I've been to Australia several times, but that was just not ever on the menu.
Stringy. Kind of tough,
yeah.
Tough and stringy. Anyway, I wanted to get that out of the way, make sure that our listeners were perfectly clear on on. I don't even know how they prepped it or cooked it, but
you see a lot of roadkill over there.
Boy, howdy. But the only thing is, versus in Texas, they're not sitting up on the side of the road with a Lone Star or a Foster's in their place. They're not doing that down there yet. They'll get there. They'll get there.
I gotcha. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Could you see that little wallaby sitting out there, just sitting up holding the Foster's?
Sure.
Somebody put sunglasses on him like Skippy the Bush Kangaroo or some damn thing.
Exactly. On Anzac Day in the bar.
So one thing I wanted to ask you about is your Great American Cookout. You've got a program there, and you've got some nice folks that go around and kind of teach and present, and you've got some great sponsors for it. So why don't you tell our listeners about that?
Okay. It's called the Great American Cookout Tour, and it is It's a traveling tour that goes to 25 events a year, not all necessarily KCBS events, because you go where the centers are. And it's a sponsored tour, and we feature the sponsored products and it's about barbecuing, about grilling. And Chris and Mike Peters, or Mike is the spokesperson, or pitchman, as he calls himself. And so they talk and demo, and they're wonderful at engaging the public, and they will talk to you all day long if you'd let them.
Sure.
And didn't have anything to do, but it might be Bubba Burgers, it might be Bar S for Frank's, or some sort of pork tenderloin. Pork loin.
Sure.
Seems to be very popular right now and very versatile. And even, you know, people are getting into steaks and the sauce of the month and the charcoal of the month, basically, because you've got professional charcoal now, you've got lump charcoal, you've got basically anything you'd want. So
we're going to come out with designer charcoal pretty soon. You know that.
Exactly. Right. And seasonings. And so it features all those sorts of things. And, you know, it's been a line of side dishes, specific grill mates, McCormick's spices, like the Montreal steak seasoning.
Sure.
And their marinades and, pardon me, seasonings. So it's a little sampling, educational, and you get recipe cards and doodads. They talk about KCBS. So they interact with several million people a year.
That's a lot of folks.
It is a lot of folks.
To talk to.
So luckily you can talk to more than one at a time.
Well, yeah, but when you get there to shake their hands, that's all.
Right.
You come out looking like Quasimodo, you know.
Yeah. So the tour has been wonderful, and then they will also, if warranted, they'll make retail stops during the week, going from point A to point B. So it's a challenge, obviously logistically. Because you don't want to go to California one week and Maine the next week. You sort of want to work your way across. So,
right.
And then there are certain events that are must-dos, and so you have to, let's just say it's a challenge. But they're pretty good at figuring it out. So
I did a five-state book tour once over 3.5 weeks, and I know what you mean. That was fairly small in comparison. And my God, you know, we had to go back to one state twice because the radio interviews or whatever screwed up. And you want to have those logistics kind of down pat. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. I hope you had an escort there.
Yeah.
They'll work you to death.
Yeah. Well, the guy I took with me to keep me company on the tour, he was an old friend of mine, and that actually ended up causing more grief than it was worth. So,
all right. Too much information, Jeff.
Too much information, yeah. Yeah. I love the guy, but that was a tough 3 weeks, trust me, on that deal. That was a really tough 3 weeks. How many contests, real quick, we've got about 40 or 20 seconds before we go to break here. How many contests do you think you'll actually sanction this year?
I think right at 500.
That's a lot of cooking there, my dear.
It is a lot of cooking.
There's a lot of cooking.
We're dedicated carnivores.
I love that. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Carolyn Wells from KCBS. Wrap up Barbecue Nation right after this.
People stay just a little bit longer.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. We're with Carolyn Wells today. Next week, Jess Prilus is going to be on the show. She's got a new book coming out called Hardcore Carnivore. And I'm going to ask her about cooking.
She can tell you about cooking.
Yeah, about kangaroo, though.
Oh,
because she's from Australia, you know.
I know.
When we started communicating and I wrote Fair Dinkum, which is just kind of like what we say is cool, you know, up here. But I wrote Fair Dinkum. I had a friend for life then, I think. So,
well, you know, she also has a in Australia. She has the carnivore carnival. It was just a giant meat eating thing.
Festival.
A festival.
Yeah, festival is a good word for that.
Yeah.
I don't know if they got wallaby or kangaroo or wombat on their menu, but I'm going to ask her. You can be guaranteed of that, Carolyn. I'm going to be asking her
today.
Yeah. Real quick, we've got a couple minutes here. Where do you see KCBS and barbecue competition in general going in the next 5 years?
I see it as becoming it's part of a movement called food sport. So I see us being able to adapt to any kind of live fire cooking, whether it's Dutch oven or grilling or hibachi or whatever.
Sure.
Just focusing on the outdoor aspect and then expanding to virtually any sort of protein, even kangaroo or emu or whatever.
Sure.
I'm seeing it. I spent a great deal of my life promoting barbecue as America's cuisine, and luckily I saw that turn into a reality. But I think it's going to be a world cuisine.
I think so. If you just look like over in London, we've got some American chefs that have gone to the south end of London and, created barbecue, kind of American-style barbecue restaurants, put their own little flair on it. I've interviewed a number of them, and they're doing a bang-up job, and the public is loving it. So, of course, it's got to be loving anything other than bangers and mash and spotted dick and all that crap. But, I just think we're, spreading the gospel, so to speak, of the world of barbecue.
And I think with that comes the culture of barbecue, which is very much, it's a sense of community. Barbecue is not, it's not a solitary sport or a solitary endeavor. So it's food, family, fun, and friends. And the people are just, while we have some dysfunctional family, it's, by and large, it's the best It's the best extended family you could have. I mean, they're wonderful people. They're great. We have a Purple Heart program for veterans who receive Purple Heart.
Sure.
Get a free membership. We do a lot of feeding the troops. I don't know. It has evolved into. I'm not sure if it's a sub or a super culture. And that's, that's what's made this worth it for 32 years.
I think that it's really part of us. And when I say us, I mean everybody in this country, even the vegans. But it's part, like you say, it's part of our culture. It's part of us. And the other thing is I think we've brought it to a level of sophistication, and I use that word hesitantly because that sometimes conjures up an image of snobbery, and it's not that at all. We've just advanced in the cooking techniques and the skills and the way to use live fire, and with the addition now of gas grills through KCBS and all the different things. It has become a very vast part of the American culture, and we need to thank you for a lot of that, actually.
Oh, it's been a labor of love, I have to tell you.
I'm sure it has, because walking in at 5:30 in the morning to a bunch of bubbas in South Georgia that, who's this woman and what's she telling us about barbecue? I mean, that was years ago, but,
As one of my board members said, that was before anybody good was cooking.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Carolyn Wells, bless your heart. Thanks for being with us today. And
anytime, Jeff.
We will have you back real soon. You're one of my favorite guests because
thank you.
Well, the stories we tell off the air are actually more fun, but that's okay.
Yeah, aren't they? Sure, don't tell anybody.
I won't. Okay, everybody, we're going to get out of here. Remember, Jess Prilis is going to be with us next week, and our little motto here, turn it, don't burn it. You can check out my stuff on thecowboycook.com. We will see you all next week on Barbecue Nation. Take care.
People stay.